Trump hijacks the White House for a campaign photo op. He says it's the most important election in history. Sports, labor, and Black Lives Matter. And the anniversary of the March on Washington draws thousands. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Rienzo with the WBAI News for Friday, August 28, 2020. The credibility of two of the nation's leading public health agencies was under fire this week after controversial decisions that outside experts said smacked of political pressure from President Donald Trump as he attempts to move past the devastating toll of the coronavirus ahead of the November election. The head of the Food and Drug Administration grossly misstated, then corrected claims about the life-saving power of a plasma therapy for COVID-19 authorized by his agency. Then the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention quietly updated its guidelines to suggest fewer Americans need to get tested for coronavirus, sparking outrage from scientists. This comes as last night President Donald Trump accepted the Republican nomination for re-election as President of the United States. It was an unusual speech, with Trump painting a vision of a white Christian country under siege by outsiders. Trump offered a drumbeat of resentments, an effort aided by former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani and the head of the city's police union, who claimed a win by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would bring a wave of crime to the suburbs. Not a word of empathy for Jacob Blake, lying paralyzed in a hospital bed, shot seven times by a cop, his three children steps away. Or George Floyd, choked to death in front of cameras by a cop in Minneapolis. Trump's theme kept returning to the false idea of overwhelming violent protests led by anarchists and agitators across the country. He may have agreed with progressives watching on one point when Trump said this November is the most important election in United States history.
Gathered here at our beautiful and majestic White House, known all over the world as the People's House, we cannot help but marvel at the miracle that is our great American story. In recent months, our nation and the entire planet has been struck by a new and powerful invisible enemy. Like those brave Americans before us, we are meeting this challenge. We are delivering life-saving therapies and will produce a vaccine before the end of the year, or maybe even sooner. We will defeat the virus, end the pandemic, and emerge stronger than ever before. This towering American spirit has prevailed over every challenge and lifted us to the summit of human endeavor. And yet, despite all of our greatness as a nation, everything we have achieved is now in danger. This is the most important election in the history of our country. Thank you. At no time before have voters faced a clearer choice between two parties, two visions, two philosophies, or two agendas. This election will decide whether we save the American dream or whether we allow a socialist agenda to demolish our cherished destiny.
The 70-minute speech in front of 1,500 unmasked attendees may have been a violation of law. The Hatch Act makes it illegal for public officials to campaign in their official capacity. The speech ended with a fireworks display over the Washington Monument spelling out Trump 2020. According to the Nielsens, about 21.6 million viewers watched coverage of Trump's RNC address across nine cable and broadcast networks, down from 23.6 million viewers who watched Biden's DNC address on the same nine networks. Meanwhile, outside the White House, hundreds of protesters circled in, trying to get as close as possible, sounding horns and shouting occasionally being heard within the White House compound. Mark is a member of the group Refuse Fascism. He says he was in D.C. to build support for another demonstration on September 5th. The goal, 60 days of protest until Election Day.
We had gone to Trump Hotel. And then we were around all the different sides, but we came around to one of the sides we could be closer to the South Lawn so that they could hear us, you know. And yeah, people had their vuvuzelas, people had all kinds of noisemakers. It was intense. We went live, so you can see it on our Twitter at Refuse Fascism or on our Instagram and that kind of stuff.
Where were you when people came out? Because I know there was some confrontations with some of the invited guests when they were leaving.
We were in different parts. The one thing that I saw is there was some young white guy who showed up with blackface on. Trump is unleashing. He's running basically on embracing the Confederacy, on unleashing white supremacy and misogyny and xenophobia on this whole other scale. Not to mention the anti-science, where he's gathering over 1,000 of his supporters in ways that are clearly spreading this disease that's disproportionately killing black and brown people.
So what about today?
Today was beautiful. I mean, there were so many people from all parts of the country.
Where did you hang out today?
Around the Lincoln Memorial with the Get Your Knee Off Our Necks march. I was in a few different parts of the area.
Were you one of the people who had the sign that was out in the reflecting pool?
I was not personally in the reflecting pool, sad to say.
But people were. People had a sign.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. People with Refuse Fascism went into the reflecting pool with one of our 15-foot banners that says Trump Pence out now, because that's the demands that people need to hear right now.
What's the demand?
Trump Pence out now.
And how do you want to get them out? Out now.
That's the demands that we're raising. We want to get them out through sustained mass protests. We've been demanding this since before his inauguration. But right now in particular, we're kicking off 60 days of struggle on September 5th. And so we're having protests nationwide. There's already more than 20 cities announced. You can go to refusefascism.org.
Refusefascism.org.
Yeah.
What's the atmosphere like?
There's a festive element, but there's also a very serious, I don't want to use the word brotherly, but there's this, people are here celebrating the family, coming together as a family, but also this very serious moment that we're in, where recognizing the 400 years of white supremacy that's built into this country and that we need to end that. In this crossroads in history where Trump is consolidating this fascist regime, this is a real struggle right now shaping up. All of that is reflected in the atmosphere that people have brought here from all over the country, and we're trying to really make an impact in terms of people going back to all the places that they've come from and organizing in their small towns to their big cities to take the struggle to the next level and actually drive this regime out.
Professional sports teams have joined a campaign to bring awareness to violence by police against black people. On Wednesday, the NBA's Milwaukee Bucks decided not to play their playoff game against the Orlando Magic to protest Sunday's police shooting of Jacob Blake. In Major League Baseball, three games were postponed. Another Wisconsin team led the way. The Milwaukee Brewers called off their home game against the Cincinnati Reds. The Seattle Mariners, a team reportedly with the most black players in the majors, decided not to play San Diego on Wednesday. The Los Angeles Dodgers and San Francisco Giants also postponed their games. The WNBA postponed its three-game schedule Wednesday night. Major League Soccer called off five games. The New York Mets and Miami Marlins jointly walked off the field after a moment of silence last night, draping a Black Lives Matter T-shirt across home plate as they chose not to play. Both teams walked out on the field, stood for 42 seconds, the jersey number of Jackie Robinson, the Brooklyn Dodgers' first black player. The founder of the labor blog Payday Report is Mike Elk, a former baseball player himself. Elk says the sports teams are taking the lead in protest and setting an example for organized labor.
Since June 1st, we've seen over 600 wildcat strikes inspired by the Black Lives Matter movement. And now we're seeing professional athletes really lead the way in a big, major way that's shaking things up.
What is this kind of strike? It's not a strike over money.
It's a strike that is about working conditions. You know, when you're living in a racist society, it's pretty tough to come to work. So much of the white-led left really doesn't understand what's happening with black communities. So many people in the traditional labor movement are discounting this movement because it's non-traditional. It's not what your traditional strikes look like. And they're not over traditional issues. the business workers exercising power in a big way, and it's going to have a huge impact in this country.
What do you see as the impact?
When a lot of workers see, hey, particularly workers in community of color, see white and black players going on strike together in solidarity, that says, hey, you can do that in your workplace too, and that should be accepted that your employer not fire for you to do something. That's called a precondition to organizing, which is that workers realize they have some power to assert. And this is taking the labor movement down a very, very powerful role, and it's up to us to really realize this moment.
What's it like for somebody who might not be following all this stuff to sit down, turn on your TV, and not see the game? Do you think people are going to be confronted with what is happening?
ESPN's the most popular channel on cable news. And when you watch ESPN all day long, all they're talking about is these strikes. So this is a huge news story. There's a certain kind of intellectual class that for whatever reason, you know, people didn't get picked for teams. I always think there's an element of ableism. Sport is really something that people bring together, and hopefully this leads to a bigger conversation about really taking the competition out of sport. We were seeing players really set aside their differences, their competitive edge against one another in the midst of, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks are going into number one seed in the playoffs. They're going into game five, a potential elimination game. They risked a potential, you know, title for their team, because these things, the mentality you have to be in to play sports at this level from a mental standpoint, it just requires so much focus.
People are making fun of LeBron for reading Malcolm X, the autobiography of Malcolm X. What do you say to those people who criticized him for that and made fun of him?
Well, you know, LeBron James opened a public school, not a charter school, a public school that wasn't set up as a charter.
Kushner called it a charter school today.
Yeah, and it's not at all. What do I make of that? Anybody, I mean, people have been writing off LeBron James for years, but LeBron James right now, part of what they're demanding, and it's an interesting demand, is that NBA teams help collect the vote in the upcoming election. And that's a powerful, powerful demand. And that's, LeBron's already involved in efforts to protect the vote. These people write off LeBron James, but what did Gandhi say about ridiculing your powerful political opponents? LeBron James is the best basketball athlete of all times. How many rich millionaires have gone in and opened charter schools? LeBron said, we're not going to do that. We're just going to open a regular public school just with extra funding, experimental programs.
What's the takeaway from all this?
We're building momentum, and we're going into the fall. There's about to be a big teacher strikes. Labor Day is coming up. We have an opportunity to really do something here. The question is if the labor movement will take advantage of this opportunity.
Mike Elk is a labor reporter and founder of Payday Report. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo. The 57th anniversary of the 1963 March on Washington, led by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., brought tens of thousands to the foot of the Lincoln Memorial and along the National Mall, organized by the Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network. The event came after another shooting by a white police officer of a black man, 29-year-old Jacob Blake, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, sparking days of protests and violence that left two dead. It was also hours after Trump made an angry attack on Black Lives Matter and failed to mention the deaths of black people at the hands of police, riling the nation. One of the most inspiring speeches came from 12-year-old Yolanda Renee King, the granddaughter of Martin Luther King Jr.
Some of you may remember that 2 years at the March for Our Lives, I said, spread the word. Have you heard? All across the nation, we are going to be a great generation. That was in 2018. I didn't know what would hit us in 2020. A pandemic that shut our schools and put our young lives on hold. More killings of unarmed black people by police. Attacks on our right to vote. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression that we learned about in school. And more extreme weather than ever before. But great challenges produce great leaders. We have mastered the selfie and TikTok. Now we must master ourselves. Less than a year before he was assassinated, my We must not forget the sit-ins movement. We must not forget the Freedom Rides, the Birmingham movement, and Selma. Papa King, we won't! My generation has already taken to the streets peaceful and with masks and socially distanced to protest racism. And I want to ask the young people here to join me in pledging that we have only just begun to fight and that we will be the generation that moves from me to we. We are going to be the generation that dismantles systemic racism once and for all, now and forever. We are going to be the generation that calls a halt to police brutality and gun violence once and for all, now and forever. We are going to be the generation that reserves climate change and saves our planet once and for all, now and forever. And we are going to be the generation that ends poverty here in America, the wealthiest nation on earth, once and for all, now and forever. We are the great dreams of our grandparents, great-grandparents, and all our ancestors. We stand and march for love, and we will fulfill my grandfather's dream. So, show me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
One last time. Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Okay, then, let's show them.
Yolanda Renee King, the granddaughter of Martin Luther King Jr. Besides the politicians and candidates, the most moving commentary came from the family members of dozens of black people killed by cops.
Oh, so tomorrow I hope to see my son's eyes looking back at me. The mother of Ahmaud Arbery, young man jogging, shot down in cold blood in Georgia, Brunswick, Georgia. Give Wanda a big hand.
I stand before you as the proud mother of Ahmaud Arbery. I'm carrying a very broken heart, but also a grateful heart that God chose my son, Ahmaud Arbery, to be a part of this most huge movement. I do believe if we continue to stand and fight together, that we will get change.
That's right.
Sadly, we have these type of tragic events far too often. But I want each of you to please don't forget their names. Please let their names live forever. I want to share three words with you that I know Ahmaud would want me to share with you as well. And that is, I love you. I love you all for standing with us.
Let us hear from Attorney Lee Merritt.
Black power! I said black power! Black power! Look, we cannot be afraid to say black power. You cannot say that black lives matter if you don't believe in black power. Black power! Let me tell you something. Lincoln didn't free no slaves. We freed the slaves. We free ourselves. Black power! Black power! Say their names. Tatiana Jefferson. Jamel Roberson. Ahmaud Arbery.
Let us hear from the father of Ahmaud Arbery.
I just want to say it's been a hard road because my boy been lynched. by three white men. And it's been a hard road for me and my family. My boy gone, he's not coming back. So me and his family got to be his boys now. And we got to keep on fighting. And I'm going to fight, because I'm a fighter. I'm not going to stop till God called me home.
Please welcome Trayvon Martin's mother, our hero, Ashiro, Sabrina Fulton.
Even though we're going through a crisis, even though it looks dark, I want to tell you to be encouraged. I want to tell you, in spite of what we go through, be strong, stand tall, be encouraged. Don't stop saying Black Lives Matter. Don't stop peaceful protesting. Don't stop praying. Don't stop uniting. Stand together. This is what this is about. We was built for this.
Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin. We have the mother of Oscar Grant, Rhonda Johnson, ladies and gentlemen. Rhonda Johnson.
We have not received the justice that we deserve, and it's going to require each and every one of us to continue to band together, to continue to march, to continue to protest, to continue to call the injustices unjust. Where is the justice? We look at liberty, and liberty is imbalanced. And until we as a people begin to fight like we are fighting on today, like Martin Luther King had that dream. And so we must have the dream that we're going to see equality of all people.
The mother of Dontre Hamilton, give her a round of applause.
We will show up on November the 3rd to take our country back. To take our family back.
There's no order. And
I am Dontre Hamilton's mother.
You know, this is not even fair.
He was shot 14 times for sleeping in a park. I will never stop fighting for you.
The brother of George Floyd, Fionis Floyd.
Thank y'all. It's never been more clear than change right now. It's happening right now because we demand it. Everyone here has made a commitment because they wouldn't be here for no other reason right now. It's hot, and I know it's hot, but as of now, we here. Because we are being fried right now, man. Everybody out here right now, our leaders, they need to follow us while we're marching to enact laws to protect us.
Man, it's hard, man. It's really hard. I'm so sorry, man.
My brother George, he's looking down right now. He's thankful for everything that everybody is doing right now. Y'all showing a lot of empathy and passion, and I'm enjoying every last bit of it right now. If it weren't for y'all, I don't know where I'd be right now, because y'all are keeping me running. I have to advocate for everybody, man, because right now, Jacob Blake, I'm feeling it's hard just to talk right now. Shot 7 times, man, with his kids. That's painful.
His sister's going to first speak for the mother who's here in the tent.
America, your reality is not real. Catering to your delusions is no longer an option. We will not pretend. We will not be your docile slave. We will not be a footstool to oppression. Most of all, we will not dress up this genocide and boo and call it police brutality.
No justice.
no justice. There are two systems of justice in the United States. There's a white system and there's a black system. The black system ain't doing so well. But we're going to stand up.
And that's some of the news for Friday, August 18th, 2020. The news was produced with Linda Perry. Our engineer is Catherine Davis from New York. I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the WBAI News. Thanks for joining us.